All right, MN220 students, this is lecture 10 and 11. Now, these are the final two lectures regarding risk management. So you're in the final lap right now. These two lectures pull everything together. And the concept that I want to actually share with you is enterprise risk management. What does that actually mean holistically to an enterprise? This is super important, folks, because when we actually look at enterprise risk management, we have the opportunity to look at the system as a whole. So you'll be integrating a lot of your concepts from an organizational perspective in the next two lecture workshops. So moving on to slide two. Enterprise risk management is a big system. Establishing a risk management culture is super important, and that's what enterprise risk management does. Okay, you look at components of leadership, management, commitment, interdependencies, policies, goals, rewards, and sanctions. Now, some of this would have been covered through the first couple of lectures when you did your first assignment. And the first assignment was all along the lines of actually finding out who were the people within the organization, who were the leaders, what were the management commitment and issues that came up. What are the interdependencies in terms of policy, goals, rewards, sanctions? Yeah, so getting back to this whole idea around, you know, having a close look at your second assignment to enable you to move forward into more of a broader sort of thinking. So we started with the first assignment. We gave you some basics around some of the issues that might come up within organizations to now the second assignment that you're going to be able to complete, looking at a full holistic sort of perspective. Okay, we're going to be using the COSO system to think about interdependencies, goals, rewards, sanctions that might happen within an organization, the methodologies, the structure. Okay, there's some areas that we talked through, and I'll explain in terms of consolidation and mapping, tools and technology, training and development, timetable, programming, qualitative, quantitative management, and developing the enterprise risk management system. Moving on to slide three, something that's obviously gone wrong here. Enterprise risk, if I put in an analogy, is if the system is not working, you can have funny yet catastrophic sort of failures. Enterprise risk management, you know, if you go on to slide four as a definition, are the processes required to establish effective risk management as part of a day-to-day business, an organization level, and subsequently operational project and team levels, right? So if you really apply enterprise risk management, there's a culture shift within organizations. And you've got to be able to actually sort of see the shift in terms of looking at some of the terminology used in slide five. Is the interrelatedness of a whole business rather than an individual business process. It's risks around an enterprise. And I previously touched upon this in lecture nine regarding systems thinking. Systems thinking is super valuable when you look at enterprise risk management. And if you've got an opportunity to research this further, there's many tools that applies within systems thinking. And system thinking need to be broadened in terms of an enterprise. And systems thinking, if you apply it from a risk management sort of perspective, you have a whole of business, okay? Super important today because businesses interact with customers, suppliers, and also the environment. So there are further impacts that happen within the business. Now, from an organizational culture perspective, There are rules and policies, goals and measures, rewards and recognition, staffing and selection, training and development, events, ceremonies, leadership, behavior, communication, physical environment, organizational structure. So you can see there's a whole gamut of different things that happen within a culture. But in simplistic sort of terms, what culture actually means is it's the way that we are, or the way that a business runs itself. Okay, that's as simple as you can say. Now, enterprise risk management culture, as I've said previously in lecture 9, there's a maturity level that organizations go through, where there's full engagement in terms of senior management, seen at all level. Okay, there's comprehensive training, success stories and communication keep coming up. There's a champion or a sponsor to in terms of the positive side of risk of a culture. There's support by management, okay, all across the whole organization. I've previously touched on slide eight here, some areas regarding maturity. A mature organization will be an organization that's forgiving, and in terms of fear of failure is low. So they will be learning in the learning quadrant, which is the bottom left quadrant. Okay. And that's the goal of organizations, to be able to get to the point where they're learning and they're not actually working through the problem by saying anything else. So I'm going to take you through the rest of the other areas here. Hands up, cover up is a fear of failure. That's on slide 9. Hands up, fear of failure. Okay. Is low, and there's a forgiving component. A cover-up of fear of failure is high. It's an unforgiving culture. Hands up encourages risk-taking and managing negative risk. So that's what you want to do. That's what a learning organization would do. Leadership and management are committed to risk management. CEOs are committed to risk management. Their commitment needs to be demonstrated by both leadership through saying and doing, and also to management policy, procedures, and processes. Now, this word commitment in slide 11. If you go back and cast your mind to the ISO standard, part of the principles in section 4 of the ISO 31,000-2018 standard has got a big component around commitment. How are they committed to ensure that the organization in itself, right through from top levels all the way down to the bottom level where the worker, they are committed to make sure that risk is a key part. It has to start at the manager's level. Okay, they have to build in key performance indicators. And that is super important. Okay. Methodologies, number 12. Methodologies, processes, and input. 31,000 has got lots of different ways. That's on slide 12. That'll be more in terms of looking at section 5 and 6, the framework and also the process. Moving on to slide 13, structure. Risk management committee for a large company. There's a risk champion. Okay, there are boards and agendas, there's an executive committee agenda, there's strategic planning, there's rewards and sanctions that actually sort of happen, that are applied. So structure, from a big perspective, big organizations are more structured in the way that they look at stuff. Now, 14, consolidation and mapping, corporate structure, divisional structure, branch, office risk registers, risk register consolidation, risk consequence. Now, these are all important consolidation and mapping sort of processes that need to actually occur. Now, from a corporate risk mapping perspective, and I did touch on this earlier on, if you look at a system and you do a mapping process, a corporate risk mapping has got large impacts, provides a mechanism for business units and project risk management, reduce noise within the corporate register, allows lower level commitment risk by aggregated and escalated lower level common risk, right? So what I'm saying here is that there is a mechanism, a big register. I'll just impart a little story. When I was working for Bank Crisis, yeah, one of their risk managers, I found that risk management systems, if they do apply a corporate system, often you need to be able to get rid of noise and only pick the right types of risks. Also, there is a process within the system to aggregate the risk and to escalate it to a point where it's the right levels of management through reporting, get an appreciation of what those risks are. Okay. Now, moving on to slide 16, corporate risk mapping. The particular mapping here happens at a divisional consequence level. That's an enterprise consequence level. There's a business unit consequence level, right? And you have this mapping very similar to a risk matrix, and you create a profile. Now, moving on to slide 17 here, you can see that different levels and impacts might be in terms of its financial value, corporate, divisional, business, financial impacts. And you got the left-hand side, catastrophic, major, moderate, minor, insignificant. So depending on where you are within the corporation, the level of impact will certainly vary. So having an appreciation of aggregating your risks, the further that it goes up, if it's actually more of at a corporate level, what tends to happen is that aggregated risk has got a lesser impact. Just to be aware of that. Now moving on to slide 18, corporate risk management mapping. You've got formalized systems, especially software systems in place. You can see from this particular side, you can manage the complexity of the system through the software. This one here is called the Enterprise Risk Assessor, and you are adding a variety. This is on slide 19, a variety of risks. And so it's just very similar to a risk register, but it's all managed by a software system. Tools and technology these days are super important within enterprise risk management because of the complexity of the risk managed. The software's involved. Slide 21, training and development happens at all levels of the organization. And it needs to be ensured that senior management also have appropriate training. And from there, what actually happens then onward is that the training is cascaded down from a strategic, operational, to even at the worker level, where there's awareness for operational for operating personnel. Timetabling and programs are important. You need to have regular times where you measure and you identify and you go through a particular process, whether it's in a quarterly basis or half yearly basis, and then into a final year basis as a program of activities. And also there's actually adequate resources involved. Integrating and integrating qualitative and quantitative measures, that's slide 23. There's a formal structure and process. There's embedded risk management within job descriptions. It's as simple as having a task involved in terms of risk management within the job description. There's rewards and sanction measures, okay? There's lead, guide, and train personnel risk management. There's engaged personnel at all levels. There's also adopt a push-pull system in terms of risk managing. Enterprise risk management represents a paradigm shift. Now, so slide 24. What it's trying to say in terms of enterprise risk management here is this paradigm shift in terms of managing uncertainty. You're not doing it just at a very micro level. You're taking a macro approach. Okay. thinking of strategy, operational, financial objectives. Now, this is part of the causal cube. I'll come to that in a minute, right? Just think of that high level where you need to be able to look at things strategically, operationally, and financially. So moving on to slide 25, some of the companies that actually apply enterprise risk, Chase Manhattan Corporation, all the way up to Unigrain Growers and Encore Corporation, Microsoft Corporation. These are all big names. They use enterprise risk management. Now, United Grain Growers was a case study that we actually encountered in week 7 and 8. Okay. And this is actually a saying from there, you know, that they have to be vigilant about processes and to have good systems in place. Okay. Some of the sayings from their management here is having ensured that they've got safe operations for Uncle. Okay, based on loss of control and commitment. Okay, and ensuring that they run the business in an effective way. Lesson learned, from these two companies is that you can't have a cookbook recipe approach. It's not feasible. You have to have a formal dedicated effort in terms of significant risk. There's various techniques that they need to apply at a enterprise system sort of level. There's also the scale, importance, severity, and dollar amount. This should be ranked in terms of a formal scale and frequency of probability. There should be a measurement, number 6, in terms of financial risk. VAR and stress testing. Now, these are new terminologies that I'm actually introducing here. When my role as a risk manager within Bank for Us, we used to have a calculation in terms of VAR, okay, where that VAR is a measure in terms of the actual risk level, okay? So keep that in mind. There are different methodologies that are used in terms of having quantifiable, non-quantifiable sort of risks. And then moving on from there, okay, to slide 29, some of the case studies that we've applied here, United Grain Growers. Always remember to look at what that actually sort of means from a measurement in terms of what actually happened, the event, what are the root causes, what are the factors that are there, how could it be prevented, etc., right? So that's super, super, super important, okay? So VAR, getting back to what I've mentioned before, VAR is a value at risk statistical measure, and it is measures the level of financial risk with a firm or a portfolio within a specific sort of time point in time. Okay. Okay, so we are going to go to the summary for lecture 10. I'm just going to stop that there in terms of enterprise risk management. We started to skim the surface about what it is, where there's a culture and commitment part of it. Okay. And there's also a leadership and management component part of it. There's interdependencies here. There's methodologies, processes, and outputs that are part of those things. Communication and consultation. Super important for it to be done. Training and development, super important for it to be done. There's an integration of qualitative and quantitative elements within the actual risk framework in itself. So that's slide 32. We can stop there for lecture 10.